The gospel reading this morning comes from Luke's gospel. And in the beginning of Luke's gospel, he tells of the birth and the preparation of Jesus, the Savior. And in the first chapter, part of that, he talks about Mary's visit to Elizabeth, and who was pregnant with John the Baptist. And Elizabeth, upon seeing Mary, tells Mary that she is blessed by God, and your child is blessed by God because you believed. And the reading is Mary's response, which we're very familiar with. It's commonly known as the Magnificat, or Mary's song. So the reading actually is from Luke 1, chapters 46 through 55. And if you would please stand for the reading of the gospel. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. May be seated.
Thanks, Larry, for the reading and also setting up for the Mary's song this morning. I love Christmas music, don't you? Yes. You know, last Sunday after worship, Mina and I joined one of the three groups of carolers and went caroling to our church, to our church members who were not able to come out as often as they would like. And we even got to visit one of their neighbors. And we thoroughly enjoyed singing Christmas carols and visiting with them and really watching their spirits being lifted up. And I'm sure the other two groups experienced the same thing. And every time we asked them, "Do you have a favorite? What would you like us to sing?" And they would all say, "I love them all, you know. I love them all." And so we sang. We sang with "The Silent Night," "Joy to the World," "Away in a Manger," "Jingle Bells," "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer," and all of our favorites, all of our Christmas songs. And tonight, of course, we will gather around with more music for our annual Christmas concert. And I'm sure you will all agree, the songs of Christmas really lift our spirits. They are songs that inspire joy. A while back, when there was no smartphones or Bluetooth or, you know, the satellite radio in the car, which allows you to listen to, Christmas carols for hours without any interruptions while driving, you were just listening to what? FM radio, right? And driving certain interstate, like over the mountains and the hills, you may or may not get a good signal. And so you push the scan button, right? Searching for good signal. And there's this static noise. And you get sometimes Nat King Cole's "Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire." Jack Frost nipping at your nose, and go shh, and more static nose, and it switches, and it goes, "Hark the herald and then more, and it switches, and you get impatient, and you get frustrated, and kids in the back seat are complaining, when are we going to get there? You know what I'm talking about, right? Those of you who are old enough to just drive with the FM station on. But as we get closer to our destination, sounds become a little more clear. And he goes, oh, you better watch out, you better not cry. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And then angels we have heard on high. And I won't bore you with my music, but again, thank you. As we get to our final destination, we are invaded by Christmas joy. Now, I know they did not have radios back in Bible times, let alone smartphone and Bluetooth. But really, the first two chapters of Luke's gospel almost sound like an all Christmas, all the time FM station, putting out nativity song after nativity song with no commercial interruptions. As you know, in those two chapters, there are songs, hymns preserved, and Luke is not shy of telling us that. There is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, praising God after the visit from an angel, Gabriel. It's called Benedictus, Blessed be the Lord. And then there's the old prophet, Simeon, at the end of the story, after holding baby Jesus in his arm, praising God with the song now known as the Nunc Dimittis, which is now, it translates to, you are now dismissing me. So Simeon is now ready to leave this world because he has seen the Savior. And in between those two stories, the shepherds glorifying and praising God after seeing baby Jesus in a manger. They are singing as they returned to the field. And of course, the most famous is Mary's song. As Larry had indicated, history has given this song a name, the Magnificat. Because Magnificat is the first word in Latin version of the song in Luke. And that word literally means glorifies. And like so many of our Christmas songs, Mary's song is a song of joy that really arises out of the harsh realities of life. As you know, a lot of our favorite Christmas music came out of the Great Depression, including the White Christmas. And so does Mary's song, comes out of the harshness of life. I shared in my Advent study group a while ago at another church that Mary's song is one of the best Christmas songs ever. And someone replied, wait, you don't even know the tune. True, right? But it's the message, isn't it? It is a message of great joy sung out of the experience of someone who knows something about how tough life can be, especially as a woman in the world of her day. Mary has no standing in society. She is the property of her father. She had to support her family early on. And isn't it interesting that neither her mother or father shows up, is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. So Mary is all alone, frightened, unwed, pregnant teenager. And I wonder why. Poor Mary is living in that place along the interstate, you might say. You know those places. We all have to go through them when we travel far distance. I won't name them because I might get... but it's the Nazareth, right? Nazareth of today, where nothing good comes out. Nothing comes out in the radio except for the bad news about what's wrong with the world and with people like Mary in particular. But then in one moment, a faint signal is picked up, and the dial says, this is FM 101, playing all Christmas, all the time, and announcing, and the person God has hand-selected to be his partner in the salvation of the world is, there's the drum roll, and it says, Mary of Nazareth. And once again, she gets over the shock of it all, and the joy now hits her. And Mary starts to sing. And her song is a song about how God has reached into the world and pulled up out of the mud of life a little frightened, unwed, teenage, pregnant woman, girl who means nothing to nobody, but God has pronounced her blessed. You are blessed. God bypassed all the high society women, all the powerful women in the Supreme Court, in the corporate boardroom, or in Hollywood, and all the most likely to succeed girls in high school, graduating class. God passed over them, including all the powerful men, and instead reached out his hand to this little, frightened, unwed teenage girl and lifted her up above them all. So Mary starts to sing this song of joy. And it is not a song about, well, see, I told you God loves me. It is not a tune of retribution or see how much better I am than you. No. It's a song about the truly amazing thing that God has done for the poor of this world, the nobodies, the rejected of this world. And in the lifting of Mary, God has lifted all the lowly into the glory of his love. That's what her song is about. And by the way, it's not, this is just my thought, it's not by accident that God has chosen Mary, you know, like picking a lotto number. God knew Mary. God knew Mary because of her humility and her grace. And so God's eyes were set on her. And Mary, you know, knows her stuff. Mary knows the God of Israel. Mary knows the God who has chosen the lowly woman, the barren woman, to carry out his work. Mary knows the God of Sarah, God of Rachel, Rebecca, God of Hannah, God of Ruth. She knows the song of Deborah. She knows the song of Hannah, which is, as you know, very similar to the Mary song. In fact, in our Advent study, Amy Jill Levine speculates that Mary was perhaps raised by her mother, who told her all the wonderful stories of Israel, the songs of those women. Now, was she literate or illiterate? Like so many, especially the woman, we don't know, but she knew her history. She knew the stories of her nation. And so Dr. Levine says, in her song, Mary is talking about salvation in the past and present, not really about the far future. She can feel the salvation in her body, in her soul, in her spirit, in her womb. She can feel it because she knows that God has looked with favor on people like her. And that's why she sings. And Mary sings really like an aria in an opera. Magnificat stops the actions of even the gospel in order to celebrate the greatness and that covenant faithfulness of God. My soul glorifies the Lord. Borrowing from famous Maya Angelou, she sings not because she has answers to all the life's problems, but because she knows God is with her, that God had given her a song. And so as we continue to reflect on our theme for Advent, God is with us even in the face of the unknown. What do you do in season of waiting and transition when the future is really unknown? Mary could have done many things while waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. She could have put her head in the sand, throw herself a pity party, or indulge in binge-watching Netflix. She could have doubted and be angry at the world and go on social media to express how angry she is. And yet, here we are still talking about Mary's song. Mary holds one of the world's greatest hymn sings. Dr. Powery writes, "What Mary does by singing a hymn is a revolutionary way of living the Christian life and responding to uncertainty. To sing a hymn when life is difficult, that's the challenge. To sing a hymn to God when you are not even sure you trust God with your life anymore, that's the challenge. To sing a hymn when you discover a loved one or friend has been diagnosed with cancer, that's the challenge. To sing a hymn when it seems as if the tune of hate is the society's melody, that's the challenge. The courageous miracle is to sing a hymn when all hell is breaking loose and it seems as if all you have is the song itself." Mary was maybe weary from the worries, just like us. In fact, I'm sure she was. She was weary, but hope still makes a melody in her heart. You know, one of my favorite singing stories in the Bible is from the book of Acts, where Apostle Paul and his mission partner Silas are imprisoned in Macedonia for healing, remember that story? Healing a demon-possessed woman who brought in a lot of money for those people who are always about money. And in Luke writes, who also wrote Acts, in chapter 16, verse 25, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was an earthquake so strong that it shook the foundation, and all the prison doors were opened, and prisoners' chains came loose, and they were freed." And then there was the prison guard, remember, who tried to kill himself after this happened because he knows that he's going to get killed either way, either from those prisoners who just escaped or from his boss. But Paul shouted at him, said, don't harm yourself. Instead, Paul and Silas led the prison guard to Christ, and the whole household was saved. You see, singing heart knows how to forgive. Singing people know how to extend grace, even to the enemies. Singing heart also may make some people live a little longer, you know? In fact, many years ago when I was serving Yucaipa United Methodist Church, there was a woman who was in her late 90s. Her name, I believe, is Pat Elliott, as I recall. And she joined the carolers every year. And she loved to sing. Now, she didn't particularly have a wonderful voice in the musical sense. But boy, did she love to sing. And so she joined the carolers, and she sang. And I remember her once telling me, "How can I keep from singing?" She passed away at the age of 104, singing right up until her death. You see, God isn't finished with us yet. Their singing, our singing, Erica's singing, Mary's singing, all say that death will not play the final musical postlude, which is why we continue to sing during this waiting period of life, especially around this time. And it doesn't really matter what kind of voice you have, what you sound like, or if you have a good voice, or if you have a voice that can hold a note. We don't know what Mary sounded like, in fact, or if she was a soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. But we do know that she sang in the tune of God, and those of us that follow continue to sing along with her. And so, will you make that commitment on this third Sunday of Advent to sing along, even in the face of the unknown? Yes, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Go and repeat the sounding of joy. Amen.